Hello and warm greetings, dear friends. On this Monday, during Holy Week, April 6th, 2020, in the time of the great pandemic of the coronavirus. Today we begin a series of meditations on Jesus's last words on the cross, as the gospel writers record them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we begin with the Gospel of Matthew. It is extraordinarily striking to know that the canon of the Christian Bible contains four versions of one story. The being and reality of Jesus Christ is so great. Its magnitude is so beyond a normal human life. The early Christians recognized that it was necessary to have four approaches to who this was and what happened in Palestine some 2,000 years ago. Each gospel writer takes a different view on this event, emphasizes something different, brings something unique out, revealing the workings and significance of the incarnation of the Logos in a different way. Indeed, the phrase that I just used is really John's perspective, the fourth gospel. For Matthew, we discover his focus by looking at the end of his gospel and the beginning of his gospel very clearly. The words that Jesus speaks on the cross in chapter 27 of the Gospel of Matthew are perhaps the most striking and controversial and painful. They are the famous words first given in Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? It would seem the easiest way to understand these words as a strange kind of failure of faith and loss of God by Jesus on the cross. That simplistic view does not capture at all the mystery of what is being revealed. It is actually so that for Matthew, the gospel writer, these words were the beginning of the victory of what makes this Friday, where he is crucified, receive the name Good. It was a good Friday. That is because Matthew's concern is with that part of our humanity that we point at with the word our body. In order to understand the four gospels and why there are four, we must understand that it is a revelation of our humanity and Jesus Christ expressing his being through the four aspects of our humanity, our physical body, the life force body, the soul forces, and the spirit. John, with his ego perspective, his deep meditation on the I am of Christ, the Logos from the beginning of time, the whole perspective on the crucifixion as a revelation of the glory of God. This is the spirit perspective, which we will look at again more deeply on Thursday. Luke, with the soul forces of compassionate understanding and the deep moral quality of forgiveness that streams from the cross. Mark, with this living life force of the sun aura of Christ manifesting in a gospel composed in astrological terms. And Matthew, the secret of the rescue of the human body itself, the temple of man. Today is also the moment of the cleansing of the temple, and Matthew's cleansing is certainly the most dramatic. This picture of Jesus entering the temple and turning over tables and casting money flying and flipping the chairs of the sellers of bird, doves, and goats for sacrifice, sheep, lambs, the money changers. Those were making money and practicing commerce within the temple grounds. He wants to cleanse the temple and says about it, "Does it not say in Scripture that my house is to be a house of prayer for all the nations, and you have made it into a den of thieves?" This image of the cleansing of the temple of Jerusalem, the temple of Solomon, the dwelling place of the divine given to Moses in its spiritual architecture on Mount Sinai, handed off to Aaron and the priests, built by Solomon, destroyed at the Babylonian exile, and rebuilt the second temple. His accusers in Matthew's trial describe how the word had gotten out that Jesus had said, "Tear this temple and down, and in 3 days I will build it back up again," clearly associating his body with the temple of God. At the beginning of Matthew's gospel, he describes the book that he is to be writing. He is writing the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He's interested in the lineage of this body, giving us then the 42 generations all the way back to Abraham. The centuries and centuries that had to pass to prepare a very special vessel. This vessel, the human temple, had become infected by the sickness of sin since the fall. Infected by something that generated separation and isolation from the divine. And yet, as it says, as he quotes the scripture, is it not destined to be, is its purpose not to be a temple that is a house of prayer, a place where the divine and the human meet, a place where there is experienced in the Holy of Holies, the heart of each human being, the name of God, the I Am. This temple of God is afflicted with the forces of death. And so Matthew watches with eager eye how it is that the divine, shining sun spirit of Christ, who is revealed in chapter 17 of his gospel on Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, where his face shines like the sun, his robe radiant white like light. There, fully permeating and transforming his life forces into the sun revelation, the illumined cloud of light, this glory is not where he stays. Instead, in consultation with Moses and Elijah on the purpose of the incarnation, he comes back down the mountain. He comes down the mountain and heads towards Jerusalem and the cross. The divine, the eternal, can only rescue the goal of the human body to become a temple if the divine itself enters that part of the human experience that it does not know. It has to go all the way down into a place that is separate from God, that is forsaken. That is what our Passiontide liturgy also reveals, particularly during Holy Week, saying, O human being, you live in the cold, spirit-forsaken house of earth. The house of earth, that is our body, has been forsaken by the Spirit. It has become a place where we can have an experience of the abyss, of meaninglessness, of no purpose, of emptiness. This can never be experienced by divine beings. They are full of the will of God, of the purposes of worlds. But in the human body, you can end up in an experience where you feel abandoned, alone, isolated, and that the world is without meaning. It is into that place that the divine creator spirit needs to go in order to complete the salvation of mankind, the healing and the rescue. So when Matthew hears his Lord speak on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is as if the living, compassionate power of this God has now given up its divinity to experience our humanity at its absolute depths. Now, what it never knew before, the divine now knows, that is, the empty place, the abandoned place, the forsaken place. And as soon as you know something, that something becomes a part of you. Whatever I've really truly known and experienced becomes a part of who I am. So if God goes into the experience of emptiness, into the forsaken place, into this furthest depths of our human experience of the abyss, then we are no longer alone there in that experience. Then actually Christ can be experienced exactly there. So that from now on, it is actually at the bottom, at the empty place, in the forsaken experience, that people very, very often have a most powerful experience of Jesus Christ. And they come out. They receive the gift that changes their lives forever. See, when Christ incorporates the abandoned place, the empty place, the forsaken place into his experience, from then on it becomes a part of the divine process, the divine experience. It becomes holy. He consecrates death. That is why in that moment, it is the beginning of the victory. This is all the more clear when we follow the rest of the expression of Matthew's description of the crucifixion. The final sound or a word. It's not quite a word, it really is a sound. The Greek is a megaphone, a great cry that comes out of Jesus' mouth saying, the gospel writer writing, he yields up his spirit. He actively dies. That at the moment of that cry of the divine dying, entering death, entering the experience of death, the victory begins. Matthew describes how the earth shakes, the curtain before the Holy of Holies tears open, the dead rise out of their tombs, the tombs are cracked open. Resurrection force actually shakes the earth because the great separation between the earth, which is the mortal world, a separate world from God, far from paradise, full of the forces of death, now is being permeated by the spirit of life itself. So he describes how people during that weekend, Good Friday, Holy Saturday to Easter Sunday, were already experienced the dead risen and visiting with them. The tombs opened. The moment the divine power entered death, death is overcome because now it becomes a part of God. Now the great mystery word can be said, in Christ, death becomes life. Not the end, not the loss that it has been. In Christ, death and dying, the mystery of dying, becomes the mystery of being born to new life. And so these words that come from the cross in Matthew, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can understand as the very Spirit of Christ being poured into the physical body itself, and he allows that physical body to express its experience, the deepest human self-experience that is born of being embodied in the cold, spirit-forsaken house of earth. In John, Christ on the cross can become glory. The fourth gospel. In Matthew, we are given the revelation of the experience of the physical body and Christ's victory over death already on the cross. May these thoughts be of some support and comfort to you all as you live through this most powerful Holy Week. Blessings and prayers to all of you, and especially to those on the front lines serving those in need during the time of this virus and illness.